our man with all the New Zealand racing news. Mick Guerin joins RSN's Racing Pulse.
They come for home, and here's Mr. Ibiza let loose by Mark Purden. And look at him go. He sails home down the outskirts of Cambridge Raceway. Bang! Par excellence, Sakuta. Oh, is he the best two-year-old you've ever seen? He may well be. Second, Major Perry. Third, rocketing through on the inside, Cosmic Major.
Well, it was simply breathtaking at the Jewels last Sunday at Cambridge. Great call, too. Captured the moment magnificently. And Mick Guerin joins us to recap what was a massive day of racing, but no doubt that was the standout performance. Mick, how are you?
I'm loving it, brother. Mate, a big hi to everybody, Michael, around Victoria. I know some of the restrictions are easing today, so we're happy for you and hoping that they're back to normal as quickly as possible. You're right, Michael. It was actually an amazing performance. I've been going to the Jewel, which are the sort of season-ending harness racing meeting in New Zealand for 14 years. And there's been some great horses with Jewels. Horses like Lazarus, you know, proper horses. Now, I reckon that's the best performance I've seen at the Jewels. I'm not saying by any means is Akuta, who's only having his fifth start, the best horse to win at the Jewels, but it's the best performance. He actually went rough out of the gate over a mile on the small track, settled last, and they couldn't let the hopple shorteners out. Hopple shorteners reduce the size of the hopple so the horse can get confidence early taking short steps, much like a sprinter does in a sprint race or a human, and then they get into full stride and they let the hopples out by pulling a piece of string. Now, to do that, it means short strides early, horse gets happy, confident, let the hopples out, can reach maximum stride length and therefore get to its highest speed. Mark Purden was so concerned after the early sort of half gallop that he left the hopple shortness in, and he said it's the first time he's ever won a Group 1 race with them in. Now, there's not a huge amount of difference in the hopple shortness for this particular horse. Some horses, there's quite a bit of difference, but for this particular horse, it's not a massive difference. But it still basically meant the horse never got to its maximum desired stride length. Had a terrible run, came four wide and won by 10 lengths. Now, the history of juvenile racing in both codes would show that occasionally horses can do unbelievable things as juveniles and not come back at three and definitely not at four and five. So I'm not saying the Coot is the second coming, but as a performance, as a one-off performance, and I think it was quite a deep thing, it was simply stunning. And one of those performances, Michael, which we've all seen on racetracks, where you sort of go to yourself, well, what actually happened there? But my brain's taking a while to catch up to this because I know these other horses and I know you can't beat them by 10 lengths when you only take off at the 400. And so you're sort of having to try and work out what it all means. And I suppose technically we may not know what it all means for another 6 months or a year.
Well, what is the future now? Where does he head?
Well, it's an interesting one because the harness racing season has changed. This horse turns, well, technically the New Zealand season starts on August the 1st, but the Australian season doesn't start until January the 1st. So there's that five-month window where any horse in New Zealand, harness horse, can go to Australia and extend its season. So he'll be two in Australia till December 31. So he could go there for the Breeders' Crown and other races. And you would think he may well dominate those. But at home in New Zealand, there's also races like the Sire Stakes and the Sale Series, which are worth a lot of money. So I think what most New Zealand trainers will do is with the elite horses, they'll stay home because there's enough money at home. And with the, maybe, for example, someone like Hayden Cullen, who now trains his horse, might send the second-best two-year-old to Victoria and try and win the Breeders' Crown. Not an easy thing to do because Emma Stewart has such a great team of horses over there. They're hard to beat on your home ground. So I don't think we'll see a Akuta in Australia this year. How good he ends up being impossible to tell, but except the day a lot. And you need those performances, I think, on any big day to set the day alight. There was another one early on called Better Twist. She was absolutely supersonic. And she was three or four wide the whole race. She will come to Australia. So she'll park up in Australia at the back end of the season because she's three to turn four But of course, he remains three in Australia, so he can contest the Victoria Oaks and can contest the Breeders' Crown as a three-year-old. So you'll see a bit of twist. I don't think you'll see a Kuta. There was a little bit of Lazarus about what he did the other day. Whether he goes that far, I don't know, but he's bred on the same cross. That's by Super Stallion Betters Delight, who's the best stallion we've ever seen in this part of the world, out of a Christian Cullen there. And that's the absolute golden cross, probably the strongest cross ever in harness racing history in the Southern Hemisphere. And he's bred on that same cross. So there is potential he could get to those heights. But in saying that, Lazarus was a good two-year-old, a very good three-year-old, but at four, probably improved by another 10%.
I know racing in New Zealand's going through a restructure and overhaul, but it was such a successful day on Sunday with the Jewels. But is there some talk today that there could be in some jeopardy moving forward?
Well, the season's going to change. New Zealand's going to go to a harness racing season, which is a calendar year, Jan 1, December 31. And therefore, the horses have to qualify in the Jewels by winning stake money. So you sort of need a fair amount of the season or the whole of the season to be done or close to it before you can hold the Jewels, because otherwise the horses don't have long enough to qualify. What I would suggest it'll do is move to January. Not a busy month for harness racing in New Zealand. And I would love to see it stay at Cambridge. Cambridge is a great viewing track, much like Melton. Melton's a great place to actually watch racing. So I think it'll go there in summer, and it could be really, really big. It could be massive. I think one thing harness racing needs to concentrate on, and I've been to every major carnival in Australasia, is making four or five great days or nights a year. But for example, I'll just pick a race off the top of my head. Say the Victoria Oaks for pace. It's not strong enough for the people listening to this show to say to themselves, oh, wow, the Victoria Oaks is at Melton. I'm going to go to Melton to see the Victoria Oaks. And that even counts for the Victoria Pacing Derby and almost any race outside probably the Victoria Cup, the Great Southern Star, the Hunter Cup. Most people don't resonate enough with the race to just go for that race. Unlike, for example, the Caulfield Guineas or the Everest or those type of races, you might go to the races and you don't really care about the support program because it's such a big day. I think harness racing needs to concentrate more on these big carnival days. Have the Breeders' Crown where you put the six or seven Group 1s on Monday. Have your Hunter Cup and cram it with three or four Group 1s. Have your Victoria Cup and try to do the same. I think that's the key, Michael. I don't think harness racing is strong enough to try and have 20 big nights a year. I don't think it works. I think if you have six or seven big nights a year and you put on a good show at those times, you may get people to say, well, that was really good. I enjoyed that. I might bet again at Melton next week, or I like that Chris Elford guy, or I like this Emma Stewart team. I think you need to do that and do it well. I think the more big carnivals we can have, and even if that means we have a lot more industry days in between, I think that makes sense. And the key factor to that for Australia is this. Concentrated television coverage. You need to say Sky TV are going to dedicate this particular Saturday night to harness racing, predominantly Menangle and Melton. And then we're going to have to realise in a couple of weeks we're going to cop a bleeding nose because it's a big day at the Sandown Dogs, and we're going to cop that. And we're going to, or Winky's got a big dog race and we're going to cop that. I think you need to give people six or seven really big positive experiences during the year, much like, for example, Grand Finals time with the AFL or State of Origin, what we saw last night with the league. People resonate to league because of State of Origin. That made me feel good. I may go back and watch more league type scenario. And I think the Jewels is proof of that. You put that particular race on a normal harness racing card in the middle of winter, and Michael, you wouldn't even know it was on, and either would your listeners on the show. They just wouldn't have seen it because they didn't turn on the TV to watch an average Cambridge card with a $100,000 two-year-old race. You put nine of them back-to-back, and people can be made to watch them because of good media coverage. So more and more as I'm spending time travelling around Australasia, and in fact the world, I'm realising there's the absolute future for harness racing, concentrating the great stuff together and then trying to look after punters and the customer experience with cheaper food and good experiences for the other 40 Fridays or Saturdays of the year, because if we try and spread our racing product too thin, Michael, people like yourself just simply have too many other good galloping races to talk about, right?
Well, I think all codes can probably take a thread of that, especially as when it comes to getting fans and participants back to the track with cheaper food and entertainment. Hey, Mick, before we go, I want to ask you about a couple of Kiwis. Good to see Opie Bossom with a Group 1 ride for Gabe Waterhouse and Adrian Bott up north on Saturday. And in the Dane Ripper, second favourite on Saturday is this Kiwi Galloper, which has come across. Got good form lines back home behind Avantage. What can you tell us about Coventina Bay?
Coventina Bay? Yeah, Coventina Bay. She's really emerged this year. She actually has some wet track form, but she'll be better on a good track. And Eagle Farm will suit her. She loves to settle. She can't be bustled in. Bustling's not her go. If she can settle and stretch, she gets a chance. Now, I'm absolutely loathe to tip any New Zealand gallopers at the moment, Michael, because we had a dreadful autumn. We won one race in Australia for the whole of autumn with New Zealand trained horses. But she's probably suited to coming in the back end of the carnivals. We're going to get away from targeting the good races at the carnivals because our horses just get outmatched there sometimes. I think she's in the right race this week. She's over there for the Tax Tiara. She trialled really well on the Sunshine Coast last week, won easily over 1,200 metres. Sam Collett's a rider, won't be known over there, but she's a very good rider and a very good get-up-on-the-speed rider. This horse isn't ideal for that, but she'll ride this horse well. She's got a chance this week. She hasn't raced for a while, but the trial was good enough. I think she'll be better in the Tax Tiara up to the 1,600 in a couple of weeks. As I said, I'm not going to tell the RSN listeners to be backing her because the Kiwis have had a terrible run. But she's at the back end of a carnival in the right type of race, and it's not the strongest mare's race in the world. So I would suggest she's a horse who might be able to do something good over there. And I thought the $7 tab put up for her each way was about realistic in saying that she's probably going to be a better chance than the Tax Tiara in 2 weeks.
And we just got an SMS from a listener who's just reminded me here. Do we get to see the first runner out of Lucia Valentina this weekend? That's from John.
Yeah, we did. Stitzel Gilding goes to Taraba. Look, he's trialled okay. He trialled pretty good at Avondale. It's interesting they're going at this time of year. I think a lot of two-year-old trainers like to give them one, then put them in the paddock and go again. So I presume that's what Stephen Marsh is doing with him. He's quite a big horse, as you would expect. Lucia Valentina wasn't a great two-year-old herself before she went on to be a good three-year-old, and, of course, from the Queen Elizabeth. So I'm not expecting great things from him. Race 2, Taraba this week. He may well improve, but I think this may be a case of let's give him a run, open his lungs up. In fact, they gelded him and suggest he's got quite big as some of the schnitzels can do, because you don't tend to geld them this early unless that's the case. I think he's a horse worth watching. But really surprised they're going to Taraba on the grass when they had the option to now go to the synthetic track, as a lot of the trainers do with the Elite Station 2-year-olds. So, yeah, more of a watch for me than getting carried away with him, race 2 at Taraba on Saturday, which will be about 11 o'clock Melbourne time.
Is there anything that you do like over the weekend?
It's funny you should say that. Actually, I don't. I'm not going to bet this weekend. I did a fair bit of video analysis last night. The wet tracks are bothering me in New Zealand because they're producing two different sorts of wet. They're producing bog inside swoop, and they're producing leaders give way and the mother horses can't make ground. And it's too confusing for me, so I'm not betting on Saturdays until I start to see a more definitive pattern. And to be honest, Michael, the Friday night I looked at them and thought, nah, there's nothing for the RSN listeners, so I'd rather not pick one than bullshit than one and try and put their money in jeopardy. So this week, Michael, I might do something different. In fact, I might pick out the rugby boots and go along and have a gun of footy on Saturday.
Wow. Super rules. MG, back in action.
Now, mate, I haven't played this season. I play every season. I played every season since I was 5 or 6, but I haven't played this season because my life has just been racing. But, yeah, I think I could do with a change of scenery. And since I'm not going to be betting, Michael, I might watch the races, record the rest, and then, come back and watch the Stradbroke. Probably after a couple of beers with the footy mates. But, yeah, I hope next week I can find a winner for the RSN listeners, or at least a team to anyone.